Well, today the I am statement is I am the Good Shepherd. And this is such a well-known image to so many of us. We can see those pictures of Jesus in the field with those fluffy white sheep at his feet and maybe a sheep around his neck, right? You know that picture, right? It's such a beautiful image and peaceful image. And the Good Shepherd is such an image of comfort and used a lot in the Bible. We have a Good Shepherd Sunday that always happens in the season of Easter. So you'll hear this text again in a couple weeks. But years ago, my twins were in their terrible twos, or maybe it was their terrible threes, because we all know it lasts longer than 1 year, right? Right now, they're in their terrible 26s, but no, just kidding. But we were living in Vining, which was a small town about 35 miles northwest of Alexandria. And so we were, it was just kind of far away from everything, including family. And so one time we were coming home from a family event, and we were getting pretty tired. Lucas and Linnea, my twins, were crying. They were bugging each other, you know, kind of, he's touching me, and mom, he's doing this, right? So what Linnea was doing to her brother, though, is he would look out the window to entertain himself, and he would say, look, a tree. And Linnea would say, my tree. Oh, look, a dog, my dog. You know, just because it would bug him, everything became hers, right? And so finally, we were finally to the town of Urbank, right? And it's just 15 miles left. So I say to everybody in the car, hey, look, it's Urbank. To which Linnea is like, no, it's my bank. I share this story because I think that the story of the Good Shepherd does more than just comfort us and make us feel safe and secure. Yes, it does do that. But there's so much more to this story that sometimes we don't think about. Jesus as Good Shepherd is not just a promise for us, but a promise for others too. Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. As Dr. Caroline Lewis said of this text, we'd like to hold on to Jesus as our shepherd, right? My shepherd, ours alone, my Jesus. And that's what we think of kind of as our reward, so to speak, for believing in Jesus. And yet Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, welcomes all people, but also shapes our reality by asking us to also become the shepherd, because of the other sheep that he loves. We are comfortable, I think, sometimes with how the situation is now. I come to my church, I talk to my friends, I drink my coffee, I eat my donut, I drive home, right? But Jesus is giving us a mission to go and find these other sheep. We are being asked to go out into our neighborhoods and look for those sheep who have been outcasts or rejected, and to invite them into the community of Christ, to give them belonging when they've never had it or maybe have been denied it, right? And this takes work. More work than just putting up a welcome sign above our door, right? And it takes change in perspective. In John Drinkwater's historical drama, Abraham Lincoln, a woman says to Lincoln, Mr. President, have you heard the good news? In the latest battle, we suffered 800 casualties and the enemy 2,700. How splendid. Splendid, replied Lincoln. That's 3,500 souls that are lost. Oh, Mr. President, she says, you must not look at it like that. Only 800 of them counted. And Lincoln replies, Madam, the world is much bigger than your heart. We have a good shepherd who does have a big heart for all the world. Jesus is the good shepherd. He does call us by name. He is the one who protects us. He does comfort us. He does lay down his life for us. That is God, the I am. And yes, he can do all of that and love like that. Because Jesus is God, right? Jesus can welcome all people and make the sacrifice. But can we? Maximilian Kolbe was a Polish priest who was sent to Auschwitz concentration camp in 1941. And there was a rule at Auschwitz that 10 men would be killed if anyone attempted to escape from the camp. Well, a man from Kolbe's bunker escaped in July 1941. So 10 men were selected to be starved to death. And as Franciszek Gawonowski, one of the chosen prisoners, cried in anguish, Kolbe stepped forward to the commandant and said, "Let me take his place. I am old. He has a wife and children." Well, the commandant accepted his request. And so the priest took Gawonowski's place. And after 2 weeks of hunger and thirst, Kolbe was the only person in the group who was fully conscious still. And so he raised his left arm to Bach, an executioner, who injected the priest with a fatal dose on August 14th, 1941. That's pretty amazing, and these stories are pretty awesome, and we think, is he asking us to do that? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. If we are to follow the shepherding model as laid down by Christ, then sacrifice is part of our faith. It means that the church, all of us, need to figure out how to lay down her life for what could be maybe even a worthless and undeserving society. Jesus is asking us to love him back by finding and welcoming the other sheep who are not from this fold, and maybe that sheep will never sit by you in your pew in this building. But that doesn't mean we keep Jesus's love all to ourselves, my Jesus, because we think that it wouldn't be worth it. And once it's not worth it to share for that person or that people, right? It is not enough that we simply remain sheep, Jesus is telling us. Christ is calling us into the role of shepherd. Remember, we'll read this too in Easter, but remember the scene after Jesus' resurrection. Now, Peter had denied him 3 times, right, prior to him being crucified. But now they're on the beach. They're having breakfast together after Jesus' resurrection. The disciples are together. And Jesus asks Peter 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" And after the 3rd time, Peter was getting a little frustrated. He says, "Of course. Yes, of course I love you." And what does Jesus say? "Feed my sheep. Let us go and do likewise." Amen.